13 of us in here. I don't know what happened, but we had a good class. Very shaky to say that. I mean, it's not after 12 or 13 now.
We had 34, I think, total attendance.
34 total attendance. Anyway, we had a really good class. We studied from or used a little article that I had there on page 4, page 3, about self-control. And we did a In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 9, let's look at a couple of passages. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 9. It's a similar text in what we saw in John 4, in verse 9, chapter 12. Furthermore, we have human fathers who pray to this. We pay them respect, shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father, the spirits, and live? For indeed, 3 days, 6 days, it seems best to the prophets. That we may be partakers of His holiness. So His likeness is holiness, righteousness, goodness. His image is that of His Spirit. And so He is the Spirit, but we know He's the Father of spirits, and so we should be subject to Him in spirit in the same way that He is. Turn over to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Two scriptures that we didn't mention down over Hebrews 12, both on page 11 in our book. Ecclesiastes is not in there. If you want to write it down, four paragraphs down on page 11, you might have to go to it. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 7, it says, then the dust will return to earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. So where did the spirit, where did our spirit come from? From God. He created it in His likeness and His image. God is a spirit. He created other spirits to use in His image. And so man is much different. When we go back to our reading of our study here, He created this world, these physical things, but then He said, let's create man in our image, our likeness, and him have dominion over Scripture. So if man is the dominion over all the rest of creation, and we are created His likeness and image, then what are the animals not created in? They're not created God's image. They don't have the same aptitude, they don't have the same soul, they don't have the same spirit that we have. And so He gave us dominion over them. So what does that tell us about God's desire for a relationship with us? What kind of value is there in us?
Wants us to be like
Him. Wants us to be like Him. He values us above all of the rest of creation, because He put us in a hierarchy, I guess you'd say, on a level of authority. And so he says, I'm creating man in my image with a soul, and a soul is that I'm God the spirit, and they're a spirit, therefore they're accountable and subject to me, but they're over creation, which doesn't even have a spirit, and so he says, I'm putting more value on them. Does that value only go with you personally? Bruce, are you the only soul and spirit that has value of God?
No, we have, as humans, we have value with God. The animals don't have the value we have with God at all.
Right, so beyond the animals, but you personally.
Oh, yes.
Bruce is not the only one God created, right?
No.
No, I'm not the only one created. The wife is the only one. Those are the only one. So what does that mean? When we think about, we're kind of peeling back these layers of the onion as far as relationship and God's expectation of relationship. He said, I'm going to create man. Mankind in my image. Every individual man has a spirit or has a spirit. When we die, our spirit goes back to him. So what is my relationship, my understanding of God's relationship, sorry, what's my understanding of God's relationship with all mankind? That all mankind has value, right? And they have the same value that I have. I know this seems really simple, but if we don't get that in our heads from the beginning of talking about relationship, then we start stepping on everybody else, right? So when we get into all these other relationships that we're going to talk about in several lessons ahead, getting an understanding that I have value as being created. We're going to look at, I think it's in lesson 5, titled Self-Love. We're going to see that we have tremendous value, and so we ought to have, we ought to have, take, feel good about ourselves because we have value about God. And there we're going to focus really on ourselves and preparing ourselves to have a relationship. But here, Doug always mentioning, you know, well, you have your truth, I have my truth, but there is the truth, right? And so they left the truth, and then they decided, well, my truth is as good as yours. And what happens when we just agree to disagree, except we don't really agree to disagree, but what did each other's truth? Because it's always my truth, tell you the truth. So yeah, relationships just fall apart. Any other thoughts or comments on all this?
It spurred me to think about what Jesus said to the young man, is that love the Lord your God with all your heart, and the second is likened to it, the two greatest commandments, love your neighbor as yourself. And I think that's kind of what you're circling around to with our lesson today, is we have this love relationship with God being above us, but we're on equal footing with our brothers and our sisters. In that aspect, we can show them love like we can show God love.
That's right. And your other reference in there in Matthew 22, verse 37, or 36, says, teacher, which is the great commandment of the law? Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. The first is the great commandment. The second is by it, you shall love the neighbor yourself. On these two commandments hang the law of the prophets. Think about that statement. On these two hang the law of the prophets. What was the law? What did the law of the prophets represent? What is the law of the prophets? Is Jesus' statement. What does the law of the prophets represent? Why would he mention on these two hang the law of the prophets?
Well, if you go back and look at the Ten Commandments, you can boil it down to those two principles. Love God, love man. Your fellow man like you would yourself. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. You shall not, you don't need all of that, really. You just need to boil it down to its essence. And that's what I think we're talking about today, is showing love in the way that God wants us to show love to him and to others as well. And, I think the ultimate goal is that we're helping each other get to heaven.
Yeah. You think about in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, it says, do not think I came to destroy the law and prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. And what he's talking about there is in the whole entire Beatitudes right before that, and all these statements of truth and bringing them back to murder in the heart. I think that if you hate your brother, then you've already murdered him. If you commit adultery in the heart, you've already committed adultery. And if you we want to have loving relationship to continue. And so when we're studying through these relationships, Christ's interests are issued for us. His desire for us was that we would know God the way He knows God, and that our love would be expressed to one another in the same way that His love was expressed to God and God was expressed to Him. That's pretty high standard, pretty high bar when we consider what God requires and what Christ is praying for here and what's making the same is that Bruce and I have a relationship, so such a godly relationship, that each of us lend ourselves one to another as God and Christ lends each other to us, and that our relationship together promotes Christ in everything that we do, and that we all become unified based on that. So we could look at a lot of scriptures in the New Testament, especially in John, of this idea of love and relationship. In turn over to 1 John, chapter 4, we've read this several times before, verse 12, it says, no one has seen God in